Welcome to the Orange County Catholic Radio Show on AM 1000 in Orange and San Diego counties and on AM 930 in Los Angeles County. Each week, we bring you compelling conversation with church leaders and laity, talking about the things going on in our diocese and discussing the important issues that impact the world around us. We're coming to you through the good offices of Relevant Radio from our studios on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. Here now to introduce our guest and today's topic is your host, Rick Howick.
And welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. And with me today is Gina Serial, Executive Director and founder of Our Father's Table, and Greg Wagenbach, Director of Life, Justice, and Peace for the Diocese of Orange. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And if you'd be so kind, I think we flipped a coin. And Greg, if you'd be willing, I think we'd all very much appreciate a word of prayer.
I'd be happy to. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, we give you thanks for the time to come together and talk about a subject dear to our hearts, but a subject that is so close to your own. Your heart for the poor, for those who are struggling with homelessness, those who are downtrodden. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who is close to those in need, to all those in need. And we ask that you'd bless our conversation here. We thank you, Jesus, that you became poor that we might become rich, that you teach us how to care for one another, to share with one another, to meet every person face to face, and to show compassion and love and to learn. And we are grateful for your many good gifts to us, gifts to be shared with one another. We thank you for this time. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Today we have both you, Gina, and you, Greg, on in order for us to talk about homelessness, and in particular, an event that's coming up in the Diocese of Orange in really just a short period of time now. Gina, why don't you start for a moment? What is this event that's coming up? What are we planning for?
The title of the event is Homeless Persons Interreligious Memorial Service, and it is a national service that is done throughout the country, and this is our second year in doing it, and we are really coming together to honor those with dignity and respect that have passed away on the streets in our communities over the past year.
Okay, so this particular event is not necessarily directly just about homelessness, but it's drawing attention to the plight of homeless people and the dangers of dying on the street. Is that essentially what this is about?
That is essential. We're really focusing on this as a traditional memorial service to be able to honor those in their death, and not so much as a political lens on homelessness. It's more of a traditional interreligious memorial service where we're having 8 different religious leaders within the community come together along with Bishop Todd Brown to honor those that have passed away.
Okay, so this is really actually then a memorial service like you would have a funeral for any of our family members that would die. These are family members in Christ mm-hmm. who have passed away who also need to be remembered by us. Is that
correct?
A better way of putting it?
Yes, that's exactly the way. We came together. It's the Sisters of St. Joseph, the Diocese of Orange, and Homemade Orange County, along with Our Father's Table, and that when we first met 2 years ago, our focus was to really come together and honor them with a traditional memorial service.
To give you a little sense of the event, one of the things that we did at last year's event and we'll do again this year is we, all of the names of the individuals who have died on the streets while suffering from homelessness are read during the service. And that's a powerful moment of recollection, of remembrance. And the goal, as Gina said, is to really honor and remember these human persons who are family members, who are friends, who are members of the community, who are neighbors, who sometimes end up alone, who sometimes we're accompanied, sometimes perhaps we're not at that moment, but we want to be there to remember them, to honor them. And then the religious leaders each give a reflection from their faith tradition to reflect upon the dignity of the human person, to reflect upon where the heart of God is in this moment for these folks. And it's a beautiful, beautiful time.
So this is also an ecumenical experience. We're trying to bring together not just the Christians, in fact, but all of the faiths that are present in the Orange County area that we're able to bring together in order to celebrate the lives of people who otherwise would not be remembered. So who's coming? Who are these people that are going to be with our bishop? Who's going to be up there standing on the podium with him?
So, we do have a list of various leaders, Elder Ruben Acosta, Dr. Gurpeet Ahuja, Pastor Cole Bashor, Father Asher El-Khoury, Reverend John Huffman, Reverend Nichelle Madrigal, Dr. Imam Mustafa Kwazwini, and Rabbi Richard Steinberg. And then, of course, as Gina mentioned, Bishop Todd Brown will be there as well. So last year's, I must say, last year's event, it was one of the beautiful parts of the time was to hear the reflections from the different faith traditions and how they drew upon their religious texts and their spirituality. And it was beautiful to see both the things that we all shared in common in the way that we addressed the people in the moment, as well as to see the different aspects of the traditions that were different between them, and to learn from those as well, and to see how just the richness of the human response to our brothers and sisters. That was really powerful.
You know, in the Christian tradition, the idea of a funeral or a memorial service partly is to remember the impact that the loved one had who has now passed. And it sounds like you've got a number of speakers who are going to talk about the impact of people who don't have others to remember them and what that means to us. This sounds like a very interesting encounter with not only our own mortality, but also our relationship with people that we don't necessarily even know, and yet to do it from an ecumenical perspective. Last year, what was the response to that? This was the first year that we've done it here. How did it go?
It was remarkably beautiful and touching and moving. We had, I think, about 200 to 250 in attendance. We had in attendance city officials. We had people in the community, leaders in our community. And what I loved so much was that we had those who were actually experiencing homelessness also attend. It was, I think everybody that walked away said it was absolutely remarkably and moving.
And there were no sort of place, except for the speakers up front who were, you know, ready to present, share reflections. There was no real special seating. Everybody was sitting together, whether you're a city official or somebody who's living on the streets right now or somebody from the parish. And it really is that expression of our common humanity and to be able to come together. And it, as you said, it's a powerful reminder that this could be any of us. And that's sobering, I think, for those who do this kind of work, to realize how close people are, how close each one of us could be from losing a safety net, from losing a job, from losing our health care and whatever it might be, to ending up in a situation like that. And that both highlights our fragility at some level, but it also highlights the debts that we owe to one another and the responsibility we have to one another. And so it's a powerful moment to be in that time.
It was really wonderful too. We had a candle procession, so we had a candle for each name that was read, and it was a menagerie of people bringing up the candles, all different types of people, and that was really significant, I think, to see the name being read above and to see somebody walk down and place a candle that was lit on the table in front. I think to see that cluster of table filled with all those lights was really visually moving.
How many people die on the streets of Orange County in any one year? How many did you memorialize last year, and where are we now this year?
That's a hard number to have an accurate count on. I hate to say, I am deeply saddened to say that. Last year, the number we had was 194.
Oh, wow, that's
and
a lot.
Yes, it is a lot, and that is probably less than what actually is out there. So this year to date, it's 205 right now. I say that number is less than what it should be because I'm with an agency that works down in South Orange County, and we've had four pass away this year, 2017, that were not on the list that we received. So there are agencies out there, there are people out there who pass away that are never found, or their name is never added to this list, or that were passed away in a hospital that did have an address but we're actually living on the street.
Okay, so someone who may have family members who may have therefore at the very end claimed kinship, or they claimed kinship when they went in, but the reality is they were on the streets, but they're not going to be counted amongst homeless, even though they
Correct.
Lived and died their last months, years on the streets.
So the list that we receive is those without an address. That's really the only way we can determine the list from the coroner's office. That's the determination. If you do not have an address, then you're considered homeless. But a lot of our folks have addresses. They need addresses to receive IDs, receive medical
right.
care. We, the agency I'm with, provides an address. So if that address is listed, then they're really not going to be on that list that we receive from the coroners, even though they're officially homeless living on the street.
We do also contact all the agencies and
yes.
ask them to report,
Correct.
Like as our Father's Table does and others, for them to report those individuals that would have an address through them, but
Correct.
But they know that they died.
And we do have a name, somebody here at the diocese that is open to receive names, so we can definitely give that information. It's Esther Ramirez, and her phone number is 714-282-6001. You're more than happy. We would be grateful for you to leave your the name of the deceased with Esther, and we would add it.
So that's Esther Ramirez here at the Diocese of Orange. So if they didn't get the number, they can always look her up on the diocesan website.
And just to be clear, too, you're welcome to report anybody, but we're especially during the memorial service, we're looking at those who've died in the past year.
You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today is Gina Suriel, who is the executive director and founder of Our Father's Table, and Greg Wagenbach, who is director of Life, Justice, and Peace here in the Diocese of Orange. And we're talking about those who die on the streets of the County of Orange homeless and remembering them in a special memorial service that we will be having coming up very shortly. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the issue of homelessness in the Diocese of Orange. We will be right back. Welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Garden Grove, California, on the campus of Christ Cathedral, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Gina Suriel, who is the executive director and founder of Our Father's Table, and Greg Wagenbach, who is director of Life, Justice, and Peace here in the Diocese of Orange. And we are talking today about a memorial service in honor of, in remembrance of, those who passed away without anyone else around to really remember them, people who are homeless on the streets in Orange. And it's a much larger number than I imagined. When I first heard about this, I'm thinking 20, 30 people. You're talking about 200 people last year. And where are we right now this year so far?
We're at 205 so far.
More than last year.
Correct.
Wow. So this is a very large, it's hard to call it a problem, but this is a very large reality that we've got, that people that they live on the streets, they therefore die on the streets without having anyone else to really be a part of their life. Where are we right now in homelessness in the Diocese of Orange? And I guess I go to both of you on this question, because I know there's been quite a bit of controversy in the last year or two about some of the homeless camps that have gone up and come down, and some of the issues surrounding those. I know in Fountain Valley they had some issues about a camp there, and when they took that down, they did find some evidence of some criminal activity that was going on, a bike chop shop or something like that with hundreds of bicycles in it. And it kind of reinforced for some people an idea that homeless people are evil or bad. But what's the reality? How should people, especially those of us who understand who Christ is, how should we be looking at the people that are there in those tent villages?
I think, and as we mentioned earlier, our memorial service really is focused on human dignity and the people. So that is not a political event in that sense, other than we're the people of God standing together in solidarity and remembrance and lamentation. I appreciate the question, and we certainly are dealing with, and it's not unique to Orange County. It's a region-wide, statewide, nationwide crisis that we're in right now. But here, unfortunately, some of those articles and stories, I think, do end up painting a whole group of people with a broad brush, and rather than looking at the individuals that are they're human beings like us. So, you know, you're going to have the whole range of human experience on the street that you have in the grocery store or in the apartment complex or anywhere else. And so I think that's one thing to keep remember is that these are folks like you and me. These are folks, you know, who deal with a range of gifts that they have, a range of problems they deal with, just like I do, just like you do. And
I had someone tell me when I was talking to them about that story that came out, you know, if you were to somehow magically pull away all the garage doors along a regular city street and veer inside, you'd find crime, you'd find problems, you'd find all sorts of different issues. It just so happens that they didn't have the privacy. And so it is a very broad brush that's been painted.
Yeah.
But the problem with homelessness is that it is not limited to one group of people. It is across the board. It can be families. It can be small children. It can be the elderly. It can be handicapped. It can be the mentally handicapped. It can be a number of different issues that come in and create the problem. So I guess where I'm going with this question is, even though there are always going to be some people that are going to be distractions, the chop shops are going to happen from time to time or whatever it might be. As Christians, we're called to help those who can't help themselves. I seem to recall a story Jesus told about the beggar Lazarus, and there were some important messages that came from that, that the people that we find at our doorstep are our responsibility.
Yeah, and we can get into some more stats and some of the stories on the street in a minute, but I appreciate you bringing up the scriptures and certainly many stories about that and early saying of the church fathers that came to mind, you know, feed the people dying of hunger, because if you do not feed them, you are killing them. And I think in a, you know, similar way, we can say, house the people who do not have housing, because in not doing that, we are contributing to their death as well. And so how do we respond to folks in need? And it's a spiritual crisis, not only because there's individuals on the street struggling perhaps spiritually, but because we struggle spiritually as a community when we're not meeting the needs, when we're not doing justice to those who are in crisis. We have a big, I'll just read from a recent study done by UCI, United Way, Jamboree, and they quoted the 2015 Orange County Point in Time report that nearly 4,500 people experienced homelessness on any given night in that year, 2,200 of whom were unsheltered, and 15,291 people were expected to be homeless over the course of the year, which equates to 1 in 200 Orange County residents
Wow.
experiencing at least one night of homelessness during that year. This is back 2015, but fairly recently. And these statistics are notoriously squishy because you have different ways of counting. Different agencies count differently. You have the chronically homeless. You have the broader group of homeless. You have people that are homeless, but they're sheltered because they find a couch to surf on or a place to stay for a period of time. But it's a huge number driven by a lot of different factors. And I just another quick finding from that report. Contrary to some of the misperceptions that, well, of course, it's sunny California, everybody's going to come out here to hang out. They're mainly long-term OC residents, with 68% of the 252 homeless surveyed here having lived in the county for 10 years or longer. So there's a big, of course, there are other folks, so this is a, you know, sampling.
Well, you go where you are most familiar.
You
yeah.
go where your home is.
It's home.
So you go where you grew up. Mm-hmm. You go where you went to school. You go where your community was when you became homeless. So they gravitate back. Our folks gravitate back to where their home was when they became homeless or before they became homeless. And Greg's right with these statistics. And if we look at these stats, we see they keep increasing every year. So we haven't. We're not making a dent. It's getting worse. And it's devastating when you see these numbers growing every year.
Yeah, so, and of course, I think one of the questions that comes up a lot is major factors, you know, precipitating this. So the study, again, has a few, you know, securing or retaining jobs with sustainable wages. I mean, that's the number one, that's the highest level issue, 40%. Finding or retaining affordable housing, including evictions and foreclosures, 36%. We have a vacancy rate of a couple percent in Orange County. And so not only do we have an incredibly hard time for people to find housing, let alone affordable housing, but that so many families are on the cusp of homelessness because if they can't make their payments for their apartment or their housing payment and they end up out, it's very hard to find another place, again, home or near where you are.
It ties into a number of different issues. So those that aren't necessarily homeless, we have often the end of the month hunger. Because that last week or two, if there's not enough money, if they're gonna move heaven and earth to make that rent so they don't end up homeless, they're feeding their kids ramen for five days a week.
And you see that amongst those who are experiencing homelessness too, is that beginning of the month they do receive checks for either SSI or SSDI, Social Security money may come in, general relief may come in, they receive their CalFresh typically beginning of the month. And so you see a drop in the number needing or going to food pantries and food banks and receiving services from outreach offices throughout the county. And then as the month goes by and they get closer to the end of the month, you see an increase in numbers visiting these services because they are now out of cash.
When you're talking about these checks that come in from SSI, if you're homeless, how do you cash your check?
I mean, it's on a debit card. So this is the funny, not funny thing, but I always find it amusing is that the homelessness, those experiencing homelessness live just like those who have a home. A lot of them have checking accounts. They use debit cards. They have an address, most of them, hopefully with the P.O. box if by an agency. They shop at grocery stores. They shop at the 99-cent stores. They live just like we do. They have a community of services and shops they visit with wherever they live. So I think if we take the idea of homelessness away from those living on the streets, they have a debit card. They can use their debit card. They have checking accounts. They go to the bank.
So when we're talking about having a debit card and having a checking account, how much are we talking about that's coming into the average person each month? What does the SSI usually cover?
It varies. SSI and SSDI is definitely a challenge to get. It's a very long, hard process. When it comes to general relief, you can get that for X number of months every year, and that's average around $300 or so dollars. It varies, though, for some people. CalFresh can be upwards of $130. I have one lady right now that's getting $20 a month on it. I've seen some folks with getting SSI up to $1,100 a month.
But even $1,100 a month, if you're trying to, if that's your only income, you still are going to be homeless in
Orange
County.
Right. So in Orange County, I think the stats came out that you have to be making $33 and change to be able to afford a one bedroom. And anything under $86,000, per hour. And anything under $86,000 a year, you're considered low income. That's one article I read.
Anything under what?
$86,000 a year, you're considered low income. That's one article I read.
Wow.
In Orange County.
Yeah. That's
And you know, to return to that question of the crisis really is multifaceted, right? There's all these levels of complication. But one of the things that folks have really been emphasizing in the advocacy world is housing. I mean, the problem with homelessness is that you don't have a home. You don't have a house.
And definition.
Looking for permanent supportive housing. So a house is crucial, a place to live, and then along with the supportive services that will help folks to get back on their feet and have the care that they need to address whatever's going on. But the same study from UCI estimated that approximately $300 million was spent to address homelessness in Orange County by governmental and non-governmental entities combined in a 12-month period in 2014-15. So $300 million. But the vast majority of that is not going to permanent supportive housing. It's spent by municipalities for their response. It's spent on emergency services. It's spent on all the different support services to help those who are without housing. And so one of the big arguments and pushes has been, how can we get more housing for folks who need housing in Orange County?
We are going to come back, and I want to address a little bit more on that, but I also want to shift gears just a little bit and go back to some of the things we were talking about. This is a memorial service, and by its very nature, it has to do with our spirituality and religion. So when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about how Christ has called us into solidarity with those who have passed on, who are not being remembered. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today is Gina Serial and Greg Wagenbach, and we're talking about homelessness, and particularly an event that's coming up that will celebrate the lives of those who've died. And we will be right back.
The Diocese of Orange is excited to announce our new online store. The Orange County Catholic Bookstore has thousands of Catholic product offerings, from prayer cards to crucifixes, statues, and icons. Whether you're searching for that special devotional gift, products, or books that support your personal faith journey, or a beautiful image or statue for your home or business, please visit store.occatholic.com. Proceeds from purchases help to sustain the social outreach, educational, and pastoral ministry of the Diocese of Orange.
Join Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise departing from Naples that will take our pilgrims to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in Christendom. Visit the birthplace of St. Junipero Serra in Mallorca, Spain. Celebrate Mass in the famed Gaudi Cathedral of Sagrada Familia in Barcelona. And visit Pisa and Florence, Italy. For more information, call 877-538-0010 or go to occatholic.com/travel.
And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you through the good offices of Relevant Radio. And with us today is Gina Cyril and Greg Wagenbach. Gina is executive director and founder of Our Father's Table, and Greg is director of Life, Justice, and Peace here in the Diocese of Orange. And we've been talking about homelessness, and this last segment we talked a lot about statistics, some of which were quite startling about the level of the issue that's going on here. And as you were saying when we were talking about some of the political issues that have come and gone the last couple of years around it, the church really isn't so interested in the political side of it, although we do want to try to find ways to help and empower people so that they can feel their dignity and that they can be given empowerment to rise above the problems that they've got. So that's important for us to keep in mind. But on another level, there is a call for us to be in solidarity with every human being, and that includes, and in fact, we should be drawing some of our spiritual inspiration from those who are suffering, those who are undergoing trauma and problems in their lives. And I have been around homeless from time to time and have been involved with homeless from time to time, and I can tell you that suffering is a constant theme in one way or another. I know that if we go back into the early church, I mean, the one book that we don't read a whole lot because it's not included in Scripture, though came real close, with the Shepherd of Hermas, which the whole theme behind that really is about the morality of the community, especially how we have such a wide variety, those who are wealthy and those who are not. And there's an image that's brought out there of the willow tree and the grapevine. And the willow tree may not give out any kind of a fruit, but it's strong and solid, like those who have money and establishment. The grapevine may not have the money and establishment, but is able to put out fruit. And when it winds around the willow tree, they work well in tandem together. It's a really neat image. Kind of wish it made it in some ways. But we have a responsibility as Christians to reflect on everyone, including people who are suffering and those who are homeless. Talk to me a little bit. What have you learned personally about from your involvement in your walk with God in working with people who are suffering?
Well, Our Father's Table, the agency I'm with, is a Christian agency, and the reason we do our work is because we are called to work with those who are at the lower levels of our society, those that are without a voice, those that are homeless, addicts, mentally ill, those that are forgotten. And so we look at the Good Samaritan parable as really being there for our folks in these times of hardship, to be the feet and hands of Christ, to go out there and not to judge, not to point a finger, not to tell them what they need or what they don't need, to be there to love on them, to accept them, and to know that God loves them. So our calling, our mission is to do just that. And that is really comes from the Gospels for us.
When I think about our three major virtues of faith, hope, and love, I'm reminded that heaven is a faithless place and heaven is a hopeless place, because you don't need hope anymore because you've got everything you'd hoped for. And you don't need any faith anymore because you have it right there. But you still have that love. It's the one thing that goes with us. And that concept of love that we have is the one thing that always goes with us, and it's the one thing that's supposed to form us. So I go back to Matthew 25 with the judgment of the sheep and the goats, and the only difference between the sheep and the goats is what they did or didn't do for those who were poor and unfortunate around them, those who had needs. And we're talking now about the needs of people that are around us at their death. I mean, one of the things about the whole parable of Lazarus at the feet of the rich man, he had all these horrible things and then he dies. And part of the parable is in that relationship of not only life, but also death. And it's something to remind us that this is a lifelong, indeed, even a beyond lifelong concern for us. Because if we believe that we're all called to an eternity with Christ, that's all of us. How are we going to encounter our Lazaruses in our lives? And it sounds like this effort that you're trying to make with a memorial service is such an important possible tool anyway for Catholics, Christians, for people of this whole ecumenical group to be able to come together and remember that there but by the grace of God go I, and so I need to go with them.
Yeah, your comment about love and heaven, it reminds me of that quote from Dorothy Day that all the way to heaven is heaven. And that, so there's that sense in which the ways that we learn those solidarities and those human encounter and that relationship of love that is all the way to heaven and beyond. And so that is at the core of what matters. And you asked about the spirituality or what's been affected. I think two things for me. One is just recovering that basic sense of humanity. And anytime we talk about an issue, and my office deals with all kinds of issues, it's always easy to categorize and to turn something into an issue versus looking at people and just human beings and what we live with and deal with. And it reminds me of the story from C.S. Lewis. There's a story told about him that he was walking with a colleague down the street, and there was a homeless individual, you know, asking for money. And he gave him some money, and his friend, his colleague said, you know, what are you doing that for? He's just going to buy booze, you know? And C.S. Lewis said, well, that's what I was going to do. and I love that little story.
I like C.S. Lewis.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that story because it makes me laugh too, but it also just, it reminds me that, look, we're not that different. You know, we're human beings and we all have the things that we like and we deal with. And how can we find that moment of human encounter? But the other piece of it, which I think is what does draw us back continually to the politics, is that if something has to do with justice, then that does bring us back into the political realm. And it was in Pope Paul VI's letter, Populorum Progressio, in 1967, he quotes St. Ambrose in there, this great quote. He says, "You are not making a gift of your possessions to the poor person. You are handing over to him what is his. For what has been given in common for the use of all, you have arrogated to yourself. The world is given to all, and not only to the rich." So going back to your image, right, of the tree and the vine and the gifts we've all been given that we sometimes carry differently, but they're gifts intended for all. And so it's not just a question of charity or should I give a gift or not, but it's actually, no, there are things that I owe to my neighbor. And I think that's where we come back into some of the political question of what is it as one of the wealthiest counties in the country, what is it that we as neighbors owe to one another, and how we should be able to figure some of these things out as a community, and so being able to start addressing that practically and looking at what are the barriers to that, and so I think that draws us back into understanding a little bit of the relationship of justice and love and that common humanity and how can we live together. As you know, Greg Boyle always reminds us of that Mother Teresa quote, you know, we do not have peace because we've forgotten that we belong to one another. So how do we remember that we belong to one another here in this county? And those of us with houses and with some level of comfort, we belong to those who are living right now on the streets. And what kind of call does that make on my life?
And I think that's important to remember. There is the gift of time and there is the gift of love. And those two you cannot put a dollar on, you cannot put a numerical value on, and those two are the most expensive to give, and those two are the most precious to give. And those gifts are what we do, and I can tell you that giving time and giving love goes way further than giving somebody a dollar. That's what really makes a difference in their lives. And to be able to one other thing mm-hmm. is to get to the point where Father Boyle always says is that it's a we, it's not an us and a them. And if we can say we are doing this, we're in this together, and eliminate that superiority and that hierarchy, then I think we're going to be at a place where we can really make a difference.
One of the things that struck me in a conversation that I had with a couple of people who were homeless, African-American homeless, and there was a comment that was made that was not about, quote, white privilege, unquote, because I don't want to unpack that a whole lot, but the idea that there's two real realities that are lived by everyone who is homeless, everyone who is of a group that somehow feels oppressed. The overall culture, trying to understand the culture that's around them, and their culture. Right. And they live within their culture. Right. So those who are living in a little camp, or those who are living in the river bottom, or those who are living wherever they can live, they've got their own little community.
Correct.
But they're painfully aware that they're looked down upon, that they're not accepted by the overarching community, and half their time is spent trying to figure out how to navigate their community versus the larger community, and to stay out of trouble, and to not offend, and to not cause problems. And yet at the same time, they're in so much need. And part of what I was told by them that they would like me to do, and people like me to do, is to spend more time trying to understand where they're coming from. And the only way you can do that is to spend time with them.
Live in the trenches, right.
Even if it just means going to a memorial service where we can at least recognize them and not ignore them and not pretend the issue doesn't exist. So I don't know, Greg and Gina, you've spent quite a bit of time. I know that you, I don't know how long you've been doing this ministry, Greg. I know you've been doing it for quite some time in different ways, but a lot of your ministry has been tied to these people. It's made a difference in your salvation, hasn't it? It's made a difference in how you see God.
This is really what I was born to do, is to be where I'm at right now, doing the work that I'm doing. And the amount and the depth of love that I feel for those experiencing homelessness, I can't describe. It blows my mind to be able to love somebody so much that I don't even know yet. And that is not me. That's really God coming through me.
As I heard one preacher put it regarding Matthew 25, sheep and the goats passage, is that when we're talking about getting into heaven, we're all going to need a letter of recommendation from the poor, yeah. you know, and the outcast.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And that's sobering for me to remember that, you know, it really does matter the way that I treat other people and the way that I live in love. And I want that. I want to know other people. I want to know their experience. And you're right. It's easy to be in a bubble. We live in a big bubble, many of us. And to be able to go out of that bubble, out of that shell, and not just to sort of try and give some charity or to take care of somebody or treat something as a project, but to learn from people. As you mentioned, the folks on the street have a lot of wisdom and knowledge because they do have to negotiate all these different worlds that many of us will never have to even enter into. You know?
You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today is Gina Serial and Greg Wagenbach. We're talking about homelessness, and in particular, when we come back, I want to get back to why we're here, this memorial service coming up, and we will be right back.
This coming July, join Bishop Tim Fryer, the Diocesan Choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City in Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise departing from Naples that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in Christendom. Visit the birthplace of St. Junipero Serra in Mallorca, Spain. Celebrate Mass in the famed Gaudi Cathedral of Sagrada Familia in Barcelona, and visit Pisa and Florence, Italy. For more information, call 877-538-0010 or go to occatholic.com/travel.
Welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. And with me today is Gina Serial and Greg Wagenbach. And before I go any further, I want to thank both of you for coming in. In case I forget you at the very end here, this has been a real good topic for us, a very timely topic, not just because we have this event that's coming up, but because we've been able to talk a little bit, I think in ways maybe some people who are listening may not have thought about before. You were mentioning that there was a saint who mentioned that when we get to heaven, we're going to need to have a letter of recommendation from the poor. That actually goes back in history. The early church, in about the year 250, there was an organized, it's one of the few real Roman persecutions, because all the persecutions that came before were small local pogroms. This was actually a persecution, and in order to get out of it, you had to sacrifice to the emperor's, what they call the emperor's genus, to his soul, so to speak. And those who were doing that but were Christians were in trouble because they committed a horrible sin. And one of the ways they could be readmitted back to church was to go to those who were going to be martyred in the weeks before they were going to be martyred. They're usually held. And to get a recommendation from them, and they would then be allowed to go back in, because these were people who were going to suffer for Christ and were willingly suffering for Christ. Now, we don't have martyrdoms so much anymore here in the United States, at least not as directly anyway as they used to have in Rome. But we still have suffering, and we have suffering. Many of these people who are in the streets are outright card-carrying members of the Roman Catholic Church or are Christians. Some of them are more Christian than they realize. They'll find out when they get to heaven, and they're suffering. So let's talk for a moment about this one opportunity we have coming up. I believe it's on the 21st, mm-hmm. to kind of join in solidarity with these lives that have been lived and that have come to an end on the streets here in Orange County.
You know, one of the pieces of background on that event is, as we mentioned, this is going to be our second year hosting it, but it was intentionally chosen for December 21st because that is the first day of winter, the longest night of the year. So that's why they chose that night as a night to remember those who have died on the streets and through many causes. So the power of this event really is to come together and to remember these brothers and sisters who've died, knowing that some of them may not have any other memorial in their honor, in their name. And some of them have, but we want to mark that together as a community and to remember them. As we mentioned earlier, you know, we have all the names are read of the individuals who have died in the past year. And then we have reflections from the different interreligious leaders who are gathered there.
And you've got a whole, we were talking earlier on, but those who may have joined us late, you've got like 8 or 9 different religious leaders from around
the
Orange County area.
We have 8, including 9 would be Bishop Todd Brown. And I think it's also important to remember we are coming together on that night as a community in Orange County. But there's over 100 cities representing 39 states in this country that are also coming together on December 21st.
Oh, wow.
So it's a national remembrance. And they, most of the services are taking place when the sun sets. So it is a national time to remember.
Let's do the nuts and bolts. So where is this going to take place?
It's going to be taking place at the Arboretum here on the Christ Cathedral campus, and that's 13280 Chapman Avenue. Time is 7 p.m.
So the Arboretum, this is a fairly large campus. So if you're looking at the great big cathedral itself, and then next to it is the Tower of Hope where we're broadcasting from, the great big cross on top. The Arboretum is located right next to the Tower of Hope.
Mm-hmm.
So if they come in through any of the parking lots, but if they come in through that back parking lot area, that's the closest to the Arboretum is out there. Is that pretty close?
That's right.
Right,
yeah.
And we will be having parking attendants directing folks to the Arboretum on that night.
Okay, so it's at the Arboretum at 7 o'clock. What can they expect when they come here? Because this isn't going to be a normal funeral service or a normal memorial service. You've described some things a little bit different than that. So walk us through for just a moment. What are they going to experience?
Well, as they make their way to the Arboretum, they will be greeted by our greeters. We will have memorial books laid out like a typical funeral memorial service where they can sign the book, leave a message for somebody in particular or in general. The greeters will be giving a memorial card for them, and then they can take a seat in the Arboretum itself. At 7 o'clock, we will then have the religious leaders proceed into the Arboretum and take a seat in the sanctuary. And then we will be having the reading of the names by two of the Sisters of St. Joseph. And at that time, we'll have the Knights of Columbus. I'm very happy to announce they are going to be partnering with us this year. And they will be bringing in the candles one at a time.
Oh, wow. I was a principal for 9 years in a Catholic school. And this sounds to me like an event that, especially the junior high school level, it would be wonderful to be able to encourage families to bring people to experience this, since if we're really serious about being all members of the body of Christ, and these are all our brothers and sisters, then we're going to a family funeral service or a family memorial service. Last year, did you have many that came with their family, with their children?
We did not, to my knowledge. Is that correct, Greg?
You know, we didn't. We're putting the word out, and we'll see who we get out. I agree. In some ways, it's a great educational opportunity for families to enter into prayer and reflection, but also to see an interreligious event, to learn, get exposure a little bit to different faith traditions, to learn about that solidarity you're talking about. I think that's great. You know, I wanted to mention the prayer card that was made for last year, which is a beautiful, you know, prayer card with the list of all 194 names were on there, and very small, obviously. But I've talked to several people who kept that prayer card and prayed with that prayer card throughout the whole year, going down, praying for those individual names, those individual people. And to me, that's the goal here. That's the beauty of this, is to remember those folks, not just to say, I went to a nice event at the cathedral, but to say, I grew closer to these brothers and sisters in their death, in their remembrance, and praying that God would draw me closer to them and those that are still alive in this world, in this life. And so how can that help to draw us closer to one another?
And this is going to be a low-paying event. You're not going to be charging at the door.
No. We would love to not have enough room for everybody in attendance. We would love to be able to fill the Arboretum with the community throughout Orange County to attend. This is very important for us who are working on this, and we hope it's important just for the community also. Because these are people, these are our brothers and sisters in Christ who died on the streets or died in hospitals. They died when they were experiencing homelessness. Some of them committed suicide. Some of them overdosed. Some of them physically their bodies gave out. Some of them were hit and run by cars, by trains. They have died just like everybody who has a house would die. There isn't any difference, but they are important, and we would hope that everybody could come out to share in the memory and to pray for them.
I would think, Gina, this would be quite cathartic for you, especially since you've grown very close to these family members.
Yes, we've lost one this month that we're doing a memorial service for next Saturday, and he was a wonderful man that I have grown very fond of and that I loved very deeply. And we have buried 10 in 3 years this way. And this is something that I never thought coming into following the calling the Lord gave me to do this work. I never thought that I would be burying people and having to call up family members and find family members and flying, you know, their children to be able to say goodbye to them. But that is part of what I was called to do, what we were called to do, and it is my honor to be able to be a part of this memorial service.
And it's one of the works of mercy, right? I mean, to bury the dead.
Yeah,
and
it's
so
very true.
We're coming together to do what Christ has instructed us to do and what was our honor to be able to do.
And we're called to stand with you, Gina, and with you, Greg, to do this. So those of you who are listening, again, this is going to be at 7 o'clock at the Arboretum at Christ Cathedral on December 21st. Greg, thank you very, very much. Gina, thank you very, very much for coming in and sharing this with me. Thank you, Gina, especially for the tenderness of your memories and your emotions. And for all of us who are able to share the body of Christ, you know, we are all benefited by that empathy, by that love, both yours and those who we're going to be celebrating at this memorial service. Greg, if you'd be so kind, would you please lead us in a word of prayer as we get ready to think about being able to go to this event.
Certainly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, you became poor that we might become rich. As Mother Teresa says, we have no peace because we've forgotten that we belong to one another. Teach us daily that we belong to one another. Draw us close to you, Jesus, through Mary, to know the heart of God, your heart, and to experience your love in the hearts of those that we meet, that we come across every day. We ask your blessing on this event and your blessing on all who hear this conversation, all the good work that they do in the community, and that you would extend your grace and your love through your servants. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Gina Serial and Greg Wagenbach, thank you so very much for coming in and spending your time with us. Thank you for being so open about this. This was a very good discussion. Thank you. I was educated on a lot of what's going on. I was very surprised at how many people we're actually talking about. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you very much for having us.
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. If you would like to hear this again or pass this on to someone else, you can access this broadcast by podcast on Orange County Catholic Radio site, occatholic.org. And if you go to the radio section, it will have a place to be able to click, and you can hear about this or any of the other broadcasts and podcasts that we've had in the past. Again, I'm Rick Howick, your host for Orange County Catholic Radio, and we will see you again next week. Where are the answers?